All right, 99.5 KKLA FM Los Angeles, the intersection of faith and reason here at the Frank Pastore Show, where Monday through Friday from 4 to 7, we engage on the issues that you care about. And our phone number, 888-995-KKLA. You know, I was going to do Obama's trip to Cairo and over in the Middle East and Saudi Arabia and Riyadh and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? I would rather do something more important. Do you mind? Got the chance this past weekend to do a men's conference. And I used to do them all the time, and I used to teach constantly. A lot of you, you guys remember the TIBS program, the Talbot Institute of Biblical Studies? I oversaw a program over at Bible University at Talbot School of Theology in which we were basically going out into the churches and teaching six-week courses in apologetics and theology and cults and soteriology and eschatology and all the ology stuff. And we did this for about 5 years and taught 5,000 adults who participated in at least one six-week class. And I was doing that three nights a week for about 5 years. And doing the radio show, and again, I'll just tell you guys the gut honest truth here. It's really hard to get into big-time substantive issues in nine-minute segments. And I really miss, this past weekend, it reminded me, I really miss being with an audience or a group or a small group to where you can get into some stuff that's pretty good and meaningful beyond just a little 8 or 9 minute little segment. And I tapped, the Lord showed up. It was awesome. And it tapped into, okay, why I do what I do. I'm not working for some big corporation somewhere. Why am I doing Christian radio? And it reminded me, okay, I'm doing it because this is the most strategically important thing I can possibly be doing. It is the most important message that redeems the world. And if you know me, that's not fire insurance. That's not, hey, say the magic word so you get to go to heaven when you're dead. That's not what Jesus was selling. It was an entrance into a new realm of reality, that you didn't have to be religious anymore to get to God, that you could not fulfill the law on your own, that the work that he did on the cross was sufficient, and now you can have a relationship with the living God. Now, look, I know a lot of you, not a lot, but maybe some of you, are not buying in that. You don't believe in God. You're a skeptic. You're an atheist. You're an agnostic, whatever. And I totally understand. I was an atheist for 27 years. I made fun of Christians and religious people just like you do now. I know all the questions you're asking. I know, you know, if everything needs a cause, who caused God? If God is all good and all powerful, why is there so much evil in the world? Either he's not all good or he can't stop it. What about world religions? What about the really, you know, the lost pagan question, which is, what about the really moral person over in Indonesia or Africa or the Sudan who never hears the gospel? Does he go to hell? You know, and of course, you always, it's so easy to nail a Christian, right? You just simply ask, all right, so if I don't receive Jesus, I'm going to hell, right? And all of that. I did that. I'm there. I understand. I was an atheist for 27 years. And I thought it was just as silly and stupid, naive and gullible and all that stuff. And I knew all about the Bible. I knew it contradicts itself. It's filled with textual errors. It's just one big story. And every religion's got its own book, so big deal. So you got a book and you say, hey, look what the book says. And miracles happened. How do you know? Because the book says it. But should I trust the book? Well, because it says so. But that's a circular argument. I mean, every religion, every cult has got its own book. Big deal. And so can I just encourage you guys? Because I don't want to do apologetics right now, and that doesn't mean I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry. What it means is to give a reasoned defense for your position. That's apologetics. It comes from the Greek word apologeomai. And it doesn't mean I'm sorry. We've sort of reduced it down to an emotional feeling. It's not being sorry. It's more like what Socrates gave when he was accused of sedition and atheism. He gave, quote, the apology, as Plato records it. And that's a reasoned defense. And so I don't want to do that right now. I typically deal with atheists and skeptics and all that kind of stuff. And let me just say, there's answers. A lot of you are just intellectually lame and wimps, and you just don't want to make the effort. And it's easy to sit in the back of the room like in eighth grade and sort of snipe. Nuh-uh, prove it. And the problem is you're not making any effort. There's great arguments out there. You at least owe it to yourself to get informed on both sides. What I want to do is to talk primarily to those of you that are interested in Christianity or consider yourself a Christian. Because what I'm about to share with you, I learned from Dallas Willard, who is probably the most significant spiritual force in my life. His book, The Divine Conspiracy, changed my life forever, my eternal life too. I mean, I was saved, quote, in a Christian. I was on the team. I would have gone to heaven when I'm dead and all that kind of stuff. But it was the teaching of Dallas through his tapes, and now many of them are available for free on the internet, which is unbelievable, because back in the old days, you had, you know, these shoe boxes filled with the cassette tapes. But the book that changed my life, and if I could recommend to you one book to get that would be an intellectual and spiritual feast for you, it is Dallas Willard's The Divine Conspiracy. It's 10 years old now. It came out in 98. But it's timeless. It's awesome. And in it are things, you will read something on every single page that you haven't even thought of before. And it's right on. So I love Dallas, and I love his teaching. And because of that, I love the Lord even more. So here's the question. And this is the one I can remember him asking it when I was at Talbot back, what was that, like 94, you know what I mean? 95, somewhere in there. And he said, what is the gospel? And I thought I knew the answer. And he wasn't asking me directly. He was teaching class in it. And I thought, okay, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And several of the students had said that. And, of course, we're in seminary, you know. And so, you know, it's almost always a trick kind of question, you know. And he said, let's expand our vision here. Let's see what the Bible calls the gospel. And he showed me a verse, and I had read Galatians, and in fact was studying it in the Greek, and I've forgotten it all now, which is horrible to admit. Sorry, Mike Wilkins. But I was studying Galatians, right? And he said, he showed me this verse in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And it says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Now, what's the money quote there? God preached the gospel to Abraham. This is thousands of years before Jesus. So it's got to be, and this is not heresy, just hang in there for a second. It's not merely the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, because it existed before Jesus was incarnated, the enfleshing of God, the in-meeting of God, in carne asada, right? It was before God made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, all that stuff. It was before the incarnation. And there was good news preached to Abraham, and Abraham went on and then preached it. So what is that? It was the good news that because I will dwell with you, Abraham, and then later your children, Isaac and Jacob, the father of Israel, because I will dwell with you, you'll be a blessing to all nations. Folks, that is the same message as, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And notice it's the world. Jesus died for the world, not the church. And that we are to do the right thing because it's the right thing, not just, quote, to Christians, obviously. And so what the gospel is, and when we come back, we're going to get into some more of this, but can I just suggest to you, just look at Galatians 3:8 and ask yourself, okay, what is the gospel then? What is this big project that God has invited us to participate in the triumph of good over evil? If the point of us was to go to heaven when we're, quote, saved and we say the magic words, then why are we still here? What is the point? If it's merely all about just getting in, once you're in, then why are we all sticking around here? There's got to be a bigger project than merely the fire insurance and salvation. There's something else going on. And Dallas refers to it as the divine conspiracy, that God has allowed himself and invited man to participate with him in the triumph of good over evil. And we see the final chapter, of course, in Revelation. He has proven that he has victory over evil and, of course, the resurrection. And God invites Christians, those of us, God invites people, let's just put it that way, God invites people to participate in the triumph of good over evil with him, and that is the mission of the church. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit further about, okay, what this gospel is and what we are to be about. And also this one, here's an idea for you. We all know that first impressions are really important, right? And, you know, all the analysis out of business and psychology, you get, you know, what is it, 30 seconds to make a first impression, and then you either live up to it or down to it thereafter, something like that. What was Jesus's first announcement of his public ministry? Don't you think that would be important? And especially when you look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how they present Jesus, the first thing he says, and what his mission statement is, how he understood his ministry to be and how it was recorded in the Bible. Don't you think that would be really important? Maybe the most important message. This is what his message is the announcement, the introduction of who he is. Yeah, I thought so. We're going to get into that straight ahead. Stay right there. You're plugged in to the intersection of faith and reason. Maybe I'll explain that too. Why the intersection of faith and reason? We'll do that straight ahead.